Let's get away from everybody else. Let's go to a secret place. Let's go out in the wilderness where nobody is. Because I love you. I care about you. I want you to be totally mine. I'm beyond. It's not an infatuation, but I'm consumed by your love. I'm consumed. I'm so overwhelmed with passion and desire for you. Some of you, this makes you uncomfortable because you're only thinking of the flesh. But when I think of my Savior and I think about how much He loves me and wants me and desires me to be close to Him, I'm telling you, it does something only inside me to think that no matter in the midst of my failure, in the midst of my fumbling and my bumbling, in the midst even of my transgression and my sin, He wants to love me. He wants to wrap His arms around me. He wants to take me away into a private place. He wants to romance me all over again. Jonathan, give me some more. I'm losing my voice. It's got. I don't want to hurt anybody's ears, but I got to have some. Yesterday, I sat here in the sanctuary, and I saw God. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve your mercy. They didn't deserve your grace. And I sat right over there in that middle seat right here. Tears flowing down my face. I said, oh God, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve you to reach out for me. How many times I've failed you. How many times I've gone on and done my own thing, even when I knew it wasn't good for me, even when I knew it wasn't right, even when I knew I shouldn't go, I did it. I followed after my own carnal way, but God, you were there all the time, waiting. Come on, I want you, I love you, I care about you, I want you more than anything. So while I was in sin, while I was being an embarrassment to my Maker, while I was being an embarrassment to my husband, oh God, He was reaching for me. He was reaching out to me. We don't have that kind of love when there's a divorce in a marriage in this nature. No, when there's bitterness, there's vehement hatred against each other, there's constant division. But even while I was doing wrong, He was reaching out to love me. Do you realize what the scripture said? I give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor was the valley where Achan was slain for his transgression, for his trespass, where he took that thing of gold and silver and the Babylonian garment. When God said, don't take anything, He took it away. He got full of Himself and the lust thereof. And the next battle that they went out to, Ai, they were defeated. They had some fathers, some grandfathers, some sons that died in that battle for no reason other than the reason of sin in the camp. Joshua, of course, was torn. And he, as he began to try to find the reason, and the lot fell upon Achan, and Achan and his family was killed. Achan was the one who sinned, but it destroyed his family. His entire family was to be buried under a pile of rocks, and it was in that valley, the valley of sin, the valley of mistakes, the valley of failure. God said, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you a door of hope. And let me tell somebody here this morning, why you may feel destitute, and why you may feel like you've done too much wrong, and you may have even been smoking pot last night, you may have even been drinking alcohol last night, you may have even been in a bed of fornication last night. There's a God in heaven that says, I'm going to give you a an everlasting black eye, if you will, on Israel's record. After they had lost the battle at Ai, what happened? Once they dealt with the sin, they went right over to where? They went right over to the promised land. They didn't go back into more failure. No, God said, I'm giving you a door of hope. Yeah. And that's what I believe today. That even though your life may be in shambles and a wreck full of mistakes and failures, there's a door of hope. Yeah. That if you walk through the door, you're going to find yourself in the promised land. You're going to find yourself in restoration. You're going to find yourself in a place of deliverance. You're going to find yourself in a place of mercy. You're going to find yourself back in the good graces of God. God said, I'll take your defeat and I'm going to turn it into a victory. Amen. I'll take all that trouble and I'm going to turn it into an opportunity. I'm telling you today, he's looking to turn around somebody's situation. And he has a door open. And I'm going to tell you, there's some of you, even tonight as I preached during the week about hidden sins. That you may dress right, you may have all the antics down right, but there's a hidden sin. There's some secret stuff that you're still been doing that you can't quite get over. And there's that hidden thing that's keeping you from really stepping in to the anointing, from really stepping in to the glory, from really stepping in to the promised land. You see, it's a shame that we at Pentecost have put a higher sin level on adultery than we have lying. Because the penalty is the same. You're going to be lost for lying as well as you are for fornicating. You're going to be lost, lost, lost. It's a shame that we have made different levels of sin. And some sins have been accepted in Pentecost. But God forbid that it ever happens here. God forbid that it ever happens here. And it's acceptable. No, the penalty for sin is death, but likewise, God's forgiveness is just as powerful and real. If you commit fornication or if you lie, He's still so excited. He's still interested in forgiving you. Somebody today, God is opening a door of opportunity today to bury your mistakes under a pile of rubble. He's here to help you walk away from the failures of your past, the marks of failure in your life, and walk through a door of hope, through a door of victory, through a door of new vision, through a door of forgiveness, through a door of deliverance. Now I want to finish here in verse 16. Sometimes we don't take enough time to really understand what the word is talking about. And verse 16 was read for a purpose. Although at first glance it may not mean anything to us. But he said, it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. Baali is where Baal comes from. Another god which is not another. Another deity of which to worship which is not another. For there is none like God. In that it means that he, Baali, meant my master, my Lord. Except in lowercase, not capitalized master, not capitalized Lord. In other words, it meant my taskmaster, not in the sense of a loving, caring Lord, not in the sense of a caring, considerate master, but as in the sense of a cruel, hard taskmaster. One that will take and take and take from you and never give back. Let me tell you today, sin is a cruel taskmaster. Yes. Yes, it is. It's never going to give anything to you. I read the other day a deal on temptation and how it will strip you clean. It'll possess your soul. And I was so burdened, and I sent it to somebody that I was so concerned about because I knew this was what it was all about. It was there shortly after that I really don't even know why I turned on. Oh, yeah. I was on my way to Sacramento the other day, taking a trailer back to Brother Robbins. And I turned the radio on because the Christian station wasn't there and I couldn't sync my phone for some reason. It wouldn't sync up. It just was making me mad. And so I just turned the radio on and I started flipping through the dial. And I heard a jazzy blues song. And I don't listen to that, okay? I want you to understand that. But I heard something. And it was a blues song. And I believe that at the end of the song, it said the title of it was Heroin. And it talked about how I'm going to take everything from you. I'm going to steal this from you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to own you. And at the end, it said, I'm going to possess your soul. And I'm going to tell you, that's what sin wants to do. It wants to possess your soul. It talked about how it was going to take your babies and make them addicts too. It was going to take everything that was beautiful in your life and distort it. It was going to make all, and I know what heroin and all of some of these things do, and meth is crazy. It's burning up people's lives right and left. But I see meth addicts, and they're all withdrawn, which was once a beautiful creation of God. Their faces all drawn. Their teeth are rotted out of their head. They're all messed up. They ain't got very many brain cells left. But yet at the time, you thought you could handle it. You thought you could take it. And so the Lord said, you're not going to call me a taskmaster anymore. You're not going to think that I'm cruel anymore. But you're going to call me Ishi. And oh, I got excited when I saw one of the very first words. It wasn't the first in the definition, but the first word that I saw when I brought up the definition was the word champion. All right. And I went, woo! God while I was in sin, messed up in a valley of mistakes and failures, he was drawing me with his everlasting love and his kindness. He was drawing me and alluring me back, and he was telling me that while I'm in this valley full of mistakes, he's going to give me a door of hope. And when I once thought that God was an evil taskmaster and too hard, I was going to see him now as the champion of my salvation, that I was going to see him as my knight in shining armor, coming in and saving my way. So no longer am I going to look at him through the eyes of somebody that just wants to rule over me. He's going to be my champion.
Hallelujah.
He's going to be my husband that cherishes and loves me with an everlasting love. And the beauty of it is, it's really prophetic. So prophetic. Because 400 years later, through the darkness of the years of silence, where there was no voice spoken, the next voice that spoken comes on scene and declares a door of hope, being Jesus Christ. Oh, you are in for salvation. There's a Savior born in Bethlehem. There's a champion born in a manger today. There's a king who will become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why he said, I am the door. Declared himself, and he said, I am the door. Bringing Old Testament, tying it into the New Testament. What a door! What a door that is open to me! What a door of salvation that is open to me. I'm amazed. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve a second chance. I didn't deserve the first opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
Much less the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth.
Yeah.
Why is it that we buy into the ideology that God can't forgive me when he turned to his disciples when they asked, how else shall I forgive? And Jesus' answer was 70 times 7 in a day. But yet we walk around with our head hung low, our shoulders burning down with guilt, condemnation, shame. No way we can pick our head up. If Jesus said it to his disciples, do you think for one second that he were doing any less?
Yeah.
Really? Do you think he would do it any less? 7 times 70 in a day, and he says it to me. But he himself, I'm telling you today, would go far beyond that. no human outdo him. You let nobody outdo him. There ain't no way you can forgive more than God. Wow. What an amazing love. What an amazing grace. The door of life, the door of love, the door of joy, the door of peace. The world cannot offer any of these things, but Jesus offers them all. He stepped out of eternity and into time. He said, I'm the door. And if you'll pass through me, and you'll walk through me, I will give you eternal life. Come on to Calvary. Talk to me about it. Say, God don't want to talk to me. Oh yeah, he does. He's waiting. Because he's been saying, come on. Come on, me and you, let's talk. Oh yeah, he's right there at the foot of Calvary. Blood stains everywhere. I do. I do want to talk with you. I do want to come here. No, God can't, because I've done this and I've done that. God can't want me. God can't desire me. Oh, you don't understand. I love you, my love. You don't understand how much I love you. You have no idea. And even though I'm so hurt, and even though I'm frustrated, I'm still going to reach out to you, because I'm not letting go of you easy. I'm not letting go of you easy. I died for you, but I didn't stay dead. I came up out of that grave to give you life and give you life more abundant. You're walking around in grave's clothes. There's no accuser of your past. Woman, where are thy accusers? Oh, I heard all those voices. I just heard all those voices saying stoner. I just heard all those voices saying killer. I just heard all those accusations. Where are thy accusers? None. There are none. Come on. Neither do I condemn thee. Walk through the door. Walk through the door. Walk through the door. And go and sin no. Walk through the door. And go and sin no more. Walk through the door. And go and sin no more. Spirit called you to know what knocked on the door. Can the Lord be going through? And if you pray to come, then you know or not before. Come on through the door. Will you embrace him? Will you embrace him today? Will you embrace him today? Will you embrace him today? Because he's reaching to you. I said he's reaching to you today, sister. He's reaching to you today, brother. He's reaching for you today, young person. He's reaching for you. He loves you. There's a door. There's a door of hope. There's a door of hope. I know you're standing in a valley full of mistakes and failures, but there's a door that if you just walk through that door,